you do it? You play the guitar on MTV. That ain't working, that's the way you do it. Money for nothing and your chicks for free. Now that ain't working, that's the way you do it. Let me tell you, damn guys ain't dumb. Maybe get a blister on your little finger. Maybe get a blister on your thumb. We got to install microwave ovens, custom kitchen deliveries. We got to move these refrigerators. We got to move these color TVs. The little faggot with the earring and the makeup. Yeah, buddy, that's his own hair. The little faggot got his own jet airplane.
publicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate, send the fundage, mail your check and money order payable to RBN, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Call in your debit or credit card at 1-800-724-2719, extension 3, and keep free speech alive. This is your Tuesday night broadcast. We have the Patrick and Jeremy Show. Joining me tonight is Dr. Patrick Slattery.
Hello.
Broadcasting from an underground bunker somewhere in who knows where. Usually it's in Burbank. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. And I don't have my own jet, and I'm not a millionaire.
But we're working class stiffs, just working hard out every day, and then we come in and do this broadcast at night. So we're that working class. That we don't get our money for nothing. We have to work for it very hard. And then we come on RBN and provide excellent content, hoping that the people will contribute to keep this thing going. Well, so what about you? Have you been working hard today?
I've been working hard for a long, long time.
Working hard or hardly working? I hate that. Absolutely hate that. Yeah, we're working class stiffs. So we've got this law passed in Michigan. Governor Slutmore passed it. Legislation that makes hate thought a crime. If they can prove that you've thought something hateful or racist or anti-Semitic, you could be prosecuted. Did you get a chance to check that out?
I did. I mean, I don't see how this can possibly be constitutional. But I guess that really doesn't matter much, does it?
No, nor does the Florida, you know, don't say Jew, is that what it's called? DeSantis signed it in Israel. If you pass out flyers or any type of street action against Jewish power, you could be prosecuted in Florida. And so this is very similar. And, I mean, it's par for the course. You know, you remember when Trump did the Muslim ban. Constitutionally, he was allowed to ban any country that he wants from coming into the U.S. That wasn't the issue, but it was his feelings, what he was feeling. That's why the injunction was put forth to halt that. He could have been feeling racist things because some of these Mexicans or third worlders, they could be rapists, or some of them maybe in some cases could be good people. But because he thought racist thoughts, that's why the injunction was put out. It's just playing off of that.
It's playing off that. So I was listening to young Nick Fuentes not long ago, and he was criticizing a somewhat more mainstream conservative YouTuber. I forgot the YouTuber's name, but the YouTuber trying to be cool and edgy and not woke and based. He had a a YouTube video called America's Not Racist, Prove Me Wrong, right? And this is something you see. There's a guy named Steven Crowder who set up a desk on a college campus, and he'll make some sort of conservative statement, Tucker Carlson level statement, and say, prove me wrong. And, you know, he's getting people triggered, and they come and argue with him, and that's how they get content. So, I mean, I'm not sure if this particular person was out on the street doing this, but America's not racist. Ooh, that's the type of thing you'd hear Tucker Carlson say. Well, Nick Fuentes was saying, America's not racist. America is not racist. America is not racist enough. Prove me wrong. And of course, the thing is, America is totally racist. It's extremely anti-white, and the whites don't argue back. And that's really his point. And so, you know, he said this about a week ago, and a day or two later, he went on some black podcast called, what is it, Fresh and Fit, where he talked to these two black guys for about 2 or 3 hours, very cordial. And then they brought in like these black strippers or something, and for another few hours. I don't know what the point of that is, but it went really well. It went well to the point that Fresh and Fit bought some advertising time on the giant screen overlooking Times Square in New York, and we're advertising the show of Nick Fuentes talking to a bunch of black strippers. And America's not racist enough, prove me wrong. So I don't know, this everything's gone so far and it's so bizarre.
Well, how this plays out in ordinary life, if you're attacked by a gang of black youths, if you're Vinny, my cousin Vinny, youths, if you're attacked by a pack of blacks and you defend yourself, and they go through your social media or things you said on the radio, and they determine that you are indeed anti-Semitic or racist person based on the content of your social media, you're defending yourself could be seen as a hate crime. That's where it could go. We've already seen this play out in Kentucky, where we do not have such legislation as has been passed in Michigan, hate crime legislation, but the officers that executed the no-knock warrant on Breonna Taylor's apartment, they were shot at, they shot back, probably excessively, I'll give you that. But they were found not guilty in the Kentucky courts. You know, they were found as officers having been doing their jobs and responding to fire in a correct manner. But then the feds came in and charged them with hate crimes because they went through all of the warrants, and they found all sorts of problems. And it's just like with the IRS, with taxes, they can, you know, if they want to find problems with you in your taxes, no matter how righteously you think you've done them, they can find something. But the bottom line is that even though these officers in Louisville were found to have, you know, in the Kentucky courts, to have executed their jobs properly and used proper firepower in response to what was directed at them, the feds came in and charged them. And this can be done in any state in the union. It can be done anywhere, no matter what the state legislature is. They can hit you with hate crimes. You think of the McMichaels in the Aubrey Arby case. They certainly had defended themselves properly. I mean, Aubrey attacked them and actually triggered the shotgun when he grabbed it from the young McMichaels individual. But yet they were, you know, charged with hate crimes, and it went federal. So this is a thing. So even if states don't have legislature, talking about hate crimes like Michigan does, the feds can come in and charge you with anything, anytime they want, and pull you out of your state and drag you in front of a federal court. We saw this also with the January 6th people. So, yeah, that's where we're at. That's the deal. Your comments on that? And you're still on mute.
I'm still on mute. How the heck do I get off? Oh, there we go. Okay.
Yeah, and, you know, the fact that Ron DeSantis signed something similar, you know, went to all the trouble to fly his cabinet to Florida so they could, to Israel, so that they could have a photo op of him combating anti-Semitism from Israel. So this is not just the woke left. You got Ron DeSantis and people of his ilk who are perfectly happy to do the same thing as long as it's targeting anti-Semites and protecting Israel, they'll do the exact same thing. And you know, meanwhile, white people who are the targets of all this, we're the targets of the legislation. This legislation is all aimed at silencing us. We're the ones who are actually under attack from racism and whatnot. We're the ones whose rights are impinged. We're the ones who are called privileged and yet the most discriminated against. And then if we talk about it, we're targeted for these laws. If we talk about it, you know, really at all. So, like in this case, if you've got a situation where you're defending yourself, like you said, and they can go back and look at your social media or whatever other evidence there is of your opinions and find that your opinion is that white people are discriminated against, then that's the type of thing apparently that they could use for this. If you've got any kind of critique of anti-white discrimination or any kind of criticism of other groups.
So it's not enough that the Jews are committing white genocide through immigration, not only of the third world, but also empowering the blacks that have been here for hundreds of years to be able to attack whites and whites to be prosecuted if they defend. Not only is it's a humiliation ritual, and you know, you see this in France with the riots going on there, where the Muslims who were brought in by the government, empowered by the government, are now violently attacking whites and businesses and just completely destroying France, and it's spreading to other parts of Europe. And so that's fostered by the Jewish-dominated governments of the West, and very similar to the George Floyd riots that we saw in 2020, where that sort of behavior was fostered, and anybody that fought back, you know, the hammer came down on them, you know, rather than the hammer coming down on the people that are rioting, burning, and looting. It's a very, very close comparison to what happened in 2020 in the U.S., what's going on in France. And so it's not only that they're replacing us, but they're doing this humiliation ritual where if you fight back, you're prosecuted as the white man. I don't know. What are your comments on comparing the 2020 riots in America, George Floyd tier, to the what's going on in France now with the Muslims?
Yeah, well, there's certainly a lot of parallels. Now in France, we have, you know, in France they don't keep track of racial demographic data. They don't. But there are indications of it, and it was recently revealed that 21% of the children born in France had Muslim given names, right? Muhammad or Fatima or whatever. They had these Muslim baby names. And, you know, presumably a few of them are named Pierre or non-Muslim names. So that's 21% of the babies born, at least 21% of the babies born in France with Muslim names. And of course, not all of the third world immigration to France has been Muslim. You've got a lot of non-Muslim Africans, for instance. You got, you know, people from other regions of the world as well. And that's the newborn generation. So yeah, France is, and in the region that Paris is in, it's about a third. And in one of the departments, just outside of Paris, it's a majority. So, I mean, you're already getting these majority Muslim areas, at least in terms of babies being born. And nobody's allowed to say anything. And the thing is, it's not the Muslims who are enforcing this. It's a Jewish power structure, and it's international. It is. I do want to emphasize, I don't want this all to be black pills. When you get the Jewish power structure going full, like just overboard on this effort to overthrow Vladimir Putin, and you know, it's not working, and they have to pretend it's working for as long as they can because they don't want to admit they're wrong. And you know, at some point, no matter how hard they pretend, it's going to be obvious that they lost. That's going to be a blow to Jewish power in general, and we'll see how that plays out in various places. So I'm just throwing that out there.
It's not only hate speech against like blacks attacking you, or you know, Jews going against Jewish power, like in Florida. It's not only that, but it goes into COVID measures. If you protest against COVID measures, I mean, that was in the American Free Press article that I sent you. And it could even go, if you speak any type of verbiage not in support of Ukraine, that could be also hate speech. That's sort of where they're going with this. Up on the break, we'll be back on the other side with callers and more Patrick and Jeremy.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Okay, we're back to the Patrick and Jeremy show, and we have callers. I was just highlighting the fact that these hate speech laws that were recently passed by Michigan, the stuff that DeSantis did, I mean, it's not going to end at Jewish power or racial injustice. It's going to go on to anyone that, you know, pushes back against child trannyism or COVID measures. Or anyone that doesn't support the U.S. totally in Ukraine, anybody that voices any kind of support for Russia at all, it's going to go there too. And these demographics, these blacks, I mean, they only understand one thing, and that's raw power. We see this in videos of them attacking whites. We see this right now in France. And the government is not coming down on them. They're allowing them to do this. And if white men of good character pushed back on this, you know, with force, these white men would be cracked down on by the government, because this is a thing that's being allowed. This is a thing that's being fostered. It's not only a genocide, it's a humiliation ritual. That's the thing that I want to really accentuate. So, Patrick, let me get your comments on that, and we'll go to these callers.
Yeah, no, I have no argument with that. And it is a humiliation ritual, as are so many other things we see in our society, you know, from the trannyism to, feminism, and so many things are really just a humiliation ritual. I want to hear what the callers have to say.
We got Patrick in Connecticut. Patrick, welcome to the Patrick and Jeremy Show.
Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate the work you do. I do want to comment on that. But before I do, I'd like to comment on something from Friday's show about sort of try to link two ideas you guys were talking about, because somebody brought up the Eurasian shift. And then Mr. Slattery, he said that, there are historical processes by which the left tends to analyze the development and progress of history and society. And so it's possible that this Eurasian shift, the shift to Eurasia of power, is a historical process. And I would say that the reason power is shifting east has nothing to do with Jews or anything like that. It more has to do with the fact that the value of reciprocity and mutual return of favors that has been emphasized in places like China, where people cultivate social power, which they call guangxi, through social networks and mutual return of favors, whereas in the West, you've had more of a historically culture of treachery, where people can sort of betray each other to try to get ahead. And I think that's sort of relates to a loss of power in the West. It's a moral failing. Moral failing, I would say. And so, like, I was listening to you guys talk as a podcast, and I just wanted to try to link the two. But I have some other comments, too. But if anybody wants to respond to that.
Well, I think that's interesting. Yeah, and what I had said on Friday was, whereas there's a tendency among a lot of people on the right to gravitate towards conspiracy. On the left, there's probably because Marx had this kind of a view of world history that was dominated by processes, that they tend to be less conspiratorial. And now you're bringing up the Guangxi, which means relationships. Kanke in Japanese, or Gwangyong, I believe, in Korean. And, you know, they do have in the East, whether you're talking about business or personal affairs, relationships are important. And you'll have businesses that keep they keep going to each other rather than necessarily just the cheapest in order to just maintain relations. So that's an interesting thought. Here's a thought that I have, which doesn't necessarily explain the Eurasian shift per se, because it doesn't have anything to do with Russia. But I think that that in terms of technology and technological development, up until recently, technology, technological development, innovation, inventions were in the realm of the individual genius, you know, somebody like Edison or Newton, people like this. We're pushing the boundaries of what was known. And I think we're getting to the point where in order to be, and you know, it was said like say 300 years ago, 250 years ago, an educated person could know pretty much the extent of human knowledge.
Okay.
And it's no longer the case. I mean, now things have gone so far that very, very few people know the extent of human knowledge in even one narrow field.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details, or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Okay, back to the Patrick and Jeremy show on Tuesday on broadcast. So we're talking with Patrick in Connecticut. And so, Patrick Slattery, you were in the middle of a thought talking about geniuses. Yeah, go ahead and finish that up.
Yeah, I got to keep a better eye on the time clock, I suppose. But yeah, until recently, technology science was moved forward by individual geniuses, which is really the strength of white people is the individual genius. But I think now it's going to be more reliant on committees of intelligent people working together, and that might favor Orientals. That was what I was getting at.
Am I still on?
Yeah, okay. Let me interject, explain everything,
but that would just be one, that would be one aspect of it.
Let me interject one thing, and we'll go back to you, Patrick, in Connecticut. The destruction of the Western economy was basically because of Jews in the West, like Newland and Blinken, going against Russia, doing these sanctions. It destroyed the Western economy. When they understood that it was destroying it, they didn't stop. So that must mean they want it to go on. And so the Eurasian shift, as you pointed out, to Asia, from the West, that was something that has been accelerated in this recent Ukraine war between Russia and Ukraine, and the West trying to overthrow Putin has pulled out all the stops. And so it actually is a Jewish thing. And whether they wanted it to happen or not, it's happening. And so you're seeing this shift. I actually heard a news report earlier today on RBN that Israel is talking about joining BRICS. Now, I don't know how true that is, but Israel may be just like stepping back and seeing which way the wind's blowing, to sort of align their power with the winning force. That might be what's going on. But the bottom line that I'm trying to bring out is that the Eurasian shift is a result of Jewish powers in the West trying to overthrow Putin. They failed, and now the Western economy is being destroyed.
Okay,
so let me kick it to Patrick in Connecticut.
Thanks. You bring up some great points, and I'd just like to respond to a couple of them. So firstly, you mentioned that it's because of a war by the Zionists in the United States against Russia and the non-Zionist power structure in Russia. And so it just seems to me that it's a case that those forces who are centered in the United States against Russia are probably seeing Russians or those Russians as a bigger threat to them than anything else, and they're probably willing to weather whatever storm follows. And so they're trying to genetically subvert some bloodlines over there so that they, in hopes that their own bloodlines will have less competition. And so, but the only thing that would really facilitate that sort of situation, though, is the treachery, a moral character of treachery within the Western population of non-Zionists. And I don't like to call out Jews specifically, but I'll just say Zionists. They're just betraying each other for money or prestige or whatever. And if they weren't like that, then none of this would be happening in the first place. And so that's why I was trying to say, I'm not contradicting you, but there's many dimensions to this situation, and one of them is a culture of treachery that I think is in the Anglo-Western world, which I am critical of. I'm more of a patriot than a white nationalist, but I do respect white nationalists. And one thing I want to bring up is, I think if white nationalists are interested in maintaining their own biological integrity, I think one of the things to look at is old French law, Salic law. In old French law, in order for a person to move, if a person moved into a new neighborhood, there'd be a trial period of 1 year where anybody could ask the person to leave and they'd have to leave. But then after the year, they'd be able to stay. So I think like a neighborhood self-determination would help white nationalists and alliances with other races and communities and being respectful of non-whites, but just working together and respecting differences. So, but I don't want to, but as far as the Russian-Iranian shift goes, yeah, it's probably just Zionists trying to subvert other people's bloodlines in order to have their own dominance. And if it wasn't for the treachery, which is unfortunately in the Anglo-Saxon world, then they wouldn't be getting away with it, because you have all these politicians willing to sell out their own people and their own extended kin network in other countries, you know?
Well, I guess if I could bottom line this before I kick it, Patrick, Jews in the West hate Putin. Your Newlands, your Blinkens, they hate Putin. They want to regime change him, and they're wanting to do this, and they don't care what it costs. They don't care if they have an exit ramp. And a result of what they're doing is the Asian shift. It's the shifting of power to Russia and China and BRICS. That's where I'm coming from. Patrick, let me get your comments on this, and we'll move on.
Yeah, I mean, I think clearly this Newland, when she was in power last with in the Biden administration, she engineered the coup in Ukraine. There's a pretty broad consensus that she, at a minimum, had a lot to do with it. And I think it's fair to say she really engineered it. And that was just part one. I mean, immediately after the coup, they passed all these anti-Russian laws in Ukraine, anti-Russian language, which precipitated or which caused some of the regions, Crimea and the Donetsk provinces, to declare independence. And, Newland had been involved in trying to get Ukraine in NATO going back to 2008, when she was actually the U.S. ambassador to NATO. And so I do think this is her plan, and it would have been implemented much earlier had Hillary won the election and likely appointed her Secretary of State. And it's failing because Putin had all those extra years to prepare for this and to improve relations with China, and it's a stronger China that matters more now. And I think it's a failed plan, but it's one that, you know, it's rolling, and the people who were responsible for it in the Biden administration, they don't have an exit ramp. I think at this point, all they are trying to do is to keep the collapse of Ukraine from happening before the midterm election. Which I think is a fool's errand, but they're the right people for the job. If there's a collapse of Ukraine before the election, it's going to be like the reaction to the botched and yet totally awesome withdrawal from Afghanistan. It's going to be like that on steroids. There's going to be a massive criticism of Biden, and I think that at this point all they want to do is keep the collapse at bay until after the election. I don't think any serious person has any
expectation that this is that there's going to be any defeating Russia or even something like a frozen conflict. That's my view of it.
Thank you for your call, Patrick. Let's move on to Vinny in Indiana. Vinny, welcome to the show. Do we have Vinny?
Hey, Vinny, are you back home again?
We may not have Vinny.
Yeah, I'm here.
We got Vinny. Go ahead.
I'm here. Yeah, you haven't had Cato on in a while, so nobody's really talking about the China. And, you know, as this Ukrainian offensive goes on and on, and now they're committed, they want to commit, cluster munitions, which is basically a desperate way of extending this Ukrainian offensive on for maybe another month or two. Then that would prevent Russia from launching, you know, their offensive, because they'll probably let the Ukrainians destroy their army and not risk Russian lives on an offensive. And with these cluster munitions, which are really like anti-personnel, that's kind of a, you know, that the only thing that Russia could really lose is if, you know, from Putin, is if they get into a situation where the Russians inadvertently cause a lot of civilian casualties, which I think is the last thing they want to do, and then have the Western media, you know, paint Putin really bad. But to me, the longer this war in Ukraine goes on, everybody's forgetting that Taiwan has their elections in January, and the weaker and the more idiotic the West looks, isn't it likely that the Kuomintang party will win, and then they'll vote for reunification with China, and then in the U.S. In the primaries, which start in January and February, Ron DeSantis won't have anything to run on because he's running like, you know, on, you know, I'm Mr. Anti-China.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all interesting. And regarding Cato, I did have a long conversation with him a couple days ago, and he's just got a lot going on in his professional and personal life. And hopefully in a month or two, he'll be back doing regular shows with me again. And Taiwan, you do have elections coming up in January. And right now, the Kuomintang looks a lot more popular. I think all of this saber rattling has shifted, you know, so you've got two big forces in Taiwan, one centered around the Kuomintang, which is actually the war, the party that historically in the early 20th century was at war with the Communist Party. And yet they're the pro-mainland party of today. And then you've got the People's Progressive Party, or whatever it's called, the Democratic Progressive Party, which is currently the party in power. But it looks like, you just had election for, I guess they call it governor of Taipei, or is it mayor of Taipei? It's one or the other. And it was won by Chiang Kai-shek's great-grandson, I think. And so you've got, it looks like, as you said, that the Kuomintang will, or Kuomintang, depending on how you anglicize it, they will probably win in January. And I wouldn't expect any like formal agreement on reunification to be forthcoming, but they have no interest in provoking the mainland the way the pro-independence Democratic Progressive Party does. And so they wouldn't be cooperating with all of these provocations, like hosting Nancy Pelosi or whatnot. And you know, that'll be certainly a bonus for China and a bonus for peace in that region.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems to me that
Ron DeSantis and a lot of the other Republican candidates, Nikki Haley and Mike Pence, have all kind of taken this hard line on Taiwan. And, you know, it may just, their whole stance for their campaign just may not be relevant because Taiwan doesn't want any part of, you know, global HOMO. Hello?
I'm sorry. Yeah, they do this. These Nikki Haley, Nikki DeSantis and Ron Haley, they're very interchangeable. They do this type of thing, blaming, in this case, China, because the base of voters that they're trying to appeal to know something's definitely wrong. They know that a lot is wrong in American society, and they need to blame it on somebody. And they don't want to blame it on themselves. Of course, they've been part of the problem the whole time. And, you know, who's behind the mass immigration? Well, it's not mainland China. Who's behind trannyism? Well, it's not mainland China. So all these things that people, who's behind the war in Ukraine? It's not mainland China. And they don't want to pull the mask off of who it's really behind. They don't want to do the Scooby-Doo thing. You know, you pull the mask off the monster and you're going to find the happy merchant. We all know that it's going to be the happy merchant, and they don't want to do that. So China's the best boogeyman that they can use. That's why, I mean, really, I think that's a big hunk of why they're going after China. There are other things. I mean, China obviously is becoming the dominant economic. It's already the dominant industrial power in the world. So it's maybe the most likely choice of a boogeyman, and people in military who have been socialized with trying to maximize the power of the American government without even considering who's in power in the American government and whose power they're actually maximizing. Yeah, a lot of people in the military will go along with that project. So it seems like a thing to do. But it's stupid. Donald Trump doesn't do it as much. I mean, Donald Trump's vulnerable because he's not that much of a he is only partly a leader. He's got a little bit of leadership capabilities, but he's also a big time follower, and he can sometimes just follow his crowd, and so that's the worry with him. But so far, he hasn't bashed Xi Jinping. I've never heard him bash Xi Jinping by name. I really haven't heard him bash Putin by name. He's always said he got along with these people, and that all the things that people badmouth Putin or Xi Jinping for would never have happened if he were president. I mean, that's the way he phrases it. So we'll just have to see.
Yeah, one last thing. Yeah, it's not just Pence and Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis. The whole kind of middle brow, you know, Trumpist, you know, like the gateway pundit. I mean, they're very, very anti-China. China is this big threat to America, and it's just ridiculous. And one thing I have been noticing, and this would be a great when Cato ever gets back, is how J-woke, how aware of the Jewish question are the Chinese? Because I've been watching some Chinese media and Chinese state media, and like they're very, very critical on things like in Syria, where the U.S. is using our military to steal oil from the Syrians and sell it through the Kurds to Israel at, like, you know, 60-70% discount. They think, well, you're just stealing this to give your buddies Israel all this cheap oil. And, you know, they're very, very critical. And it's like, wow, that's, they seem to be a lot more aware of how much Jewish power is controlling America than what's been previously talked about.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. What is it's a question I'd like the answer for. I talk whenever I can to say Chinese people. Am I talking to the elite? I mean, I might be able to talk to college professors and whatnot, and they really don't seem to know the people I talk to, who aren't the super elite. But college professors, they really don't seem to be very aware of Jewish power. They don't know much about it. In China, in Japan, over the years, I've talked to a lot of certainly reporters. I mean, I can pick out the reporters, the Japanese reporters at Trump rallies or demonstrations or whatnot, and I always go up and talk to them. And the Japanese news media is clueless. They're completely clueless. They just, all they do is they come over here and translate CNN and the New York Times. And I have talked to members of parliament in the past. And I think that the Japanese elite really don't have a clue. They're way too dependent on American media, and they don't have a clue about a lot of things. Hopefully the Chinese, I mean, and I think probably the Japanese foreign ministry doesn't really even know. I'm hoping that the Chinese foreign ministry and the Chinese intelligence services might do a better job, but I really don't know. It's a good question, and I'd love to know the answer to it.
Yeah, take a look at some of their state media, and they seem to be, you know, I think they seem to be pretty aware. And, you know, of course, they have their business dealings with both Russia and, you know, nobody's talking about Iran. Iran is just going, the longer this war in Ukraine goes on, the more depleted the Western military are, the more depleted our supplies of arms. I mean, it's not like if there's a war between Israel, a conventional war between Israel and Iran, you know, we don't have huge stockpiles of arms like we shipped to Israel in 73 for the Yom Kippur War. We're not going to have that. Israel's going to have to duke it out on their own. So, you know, they're going to be encouraged, you know, they're going to feel, the impulse to go nuclear, I guess.
Well, you know, that raise a really, I just want to say one interesting point. If you are Israel and you're seeing the United States, your benefactor, your military benefactor, just squandering its own arsenal to the point where, you know, even Biden is admitting, oh, well, we don't have shells anymore. This is why we've got to send over cluster munitions, cluster F-bombs. If you're an Israeli, what are you thinking about that? So that's a good point to bring up.
All right. You guys have a good night. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Andy. We have also Andy in Texas, in Patton, Texas. Let's go to Andy first. Andy in Texas, welcome to the show.
Okay, I'll try to be fast because the show is ending really quick. So listen, so what we have here is a Deagle report that says that we're going to be down to 100 million people here shortly in like 2025, and yet they're still letting millions of people come through our borders left and right, and they're not just coming through the border, they're being flown in. There's people coming in left and right to this country, and so if you look at it really closely, everything is being flocked to the northern hemisphere. Does that mean anything to you? I don't know. Does it mean anything to me? But everything's being flocked to the northern hemisphere. And we're thinking that these people coming from the southern border haven't been vaccinated. But do we know they haven't? Maybe they've all been vaccinated, just like many of the people in our country have been vaccinated. They want this country down to 100 million, but they're still bringing immigrants in here. So when we get to 100 million, is it 100 million of the people who actually lived here prior to all of this infiltration of people? Or is it 100 million even after that? Or is it just replacement, a group of people?
Jeremy, do you want to go first? Or?
Well, we got short time. Somebody should go.
you mentioned a report. What we call it, the Eagle Report. Yeah. I've seen this talked. I don't put any weight in that at all. It's this report projecting a very sudden decrease in population in many, many countries, and I don't give it any weight whatsoever.
I like that, Jeremy.
Well, as far as the non-white, replacement, legal and illegal immigration have been doing that. And, you know, we're talking about these issues, which are good to be talked about.
Ukraine and Russia, but we're being replaced at a scale that's completely, like, I don't know. I mean, the people that are coming in from the South and the third worlders from Africa, you know, we're being replaced at a point where it's irreversible. Even if we stopped all immigration and started deporting, it's pretty much irreversible now. So white genocide is happening in this country, and there's nothing that can be done to stop that unless there's unless there's a situation where we can balkanize, like, very fast and get people on board.
And the problem is, Jeremy, is that we don't have any more control of our judicial system, our police system. We have no control of it. So we can't stop it if we wanted to. Hey, thank you, gentlemen, for your time.
Thanks a lot. Patrick will continue this on Patrick and Jeremy Part 2. Be there 1 p.m. Central on National Bugle on Wednesday. You guys stay classy.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.